There's been significant movement at the state capitol regarding medical marijuana quite recently. Late last week, State Rep Mike Calton of Nashville, just west of Lansing, announced he'll introduce a bill that would allow businesses to dispense cannabis. Now, just days before that, the Michigan Supreme Court ruled the state's pot law does not allow so-called dispensaries. Here is the Republican rep just last Thursday explaining a key reason for his new proposal.
The problem is there's 126,000 patients in Michigan right now, and only one in three has a caregiver. So the Supreme Court ruling by taking out the dispensaries, and I could see it wasn't in the law, but either it leaves patients without caregivers either to go underground or to go without.
And current state welcomes two guests to respond to this measure. The Honorable Stuart Dunnings Jr. is the Ingham County prosecutor. He's one of many legal officials and police who have been frustrated by what many people say are vagaries of Michigan's medical marijuana law. And Robin Schneider is a Lansing resident and the legislative liaison for the National Patients' Rights Association. Mr. Dunnings, welcome.
Good morning, Mark.
Robin.
Good morning. Good morning, both of you.
If at any point the host gets anything wrong here, feel free to jump in, because this is a pretty complicated landscape. Let's back up to the state Supreme Court ruling, first of all. And Prosecutor Dunnings, what's your interpretation of what the state Supreme Court said? What's the heart of what they said here about 10 days or so ago when they said that dispensaries cannot exist in Michigan?
Well, that's right. They said that dispensaries are a nuisance. That means they can be banned by injunctive relief under the nuisance law.
They can, or
they can.
Will.
They're a nuisance. They are a nuisance. They are the activities that are going on in dispensaries are not exempt under the Michigan medical marijuana law.
Okay. And Robin Schneider, what's your interpretation of the state Supreme Court's ruling?
Well, in my opinion, they didn't actually define what a dispensary is in the ruling. What they did was they looked at a particular case coined as the McQueen case, and they said, this business, the transfers that were happening within this business are not protected by the act. Therefore, that business or anybody operating by their model could be considered a public nuisance. I know the Attorney General had sent out memos and press releases, declaring victory that the Supreme Court had said dispensaries are illegal. Actually, there's nowhere in the ruling where they actually say that dispensaries are illegal. So that was an incorrect response. I think that if there are medical marijuana businesses that are there that are not doing those transfers that have been deemed illegal, it's quite possible that they aren't breaking the law, but it depends from place to place what type of transfers are happening within those facilities.
Stuart Dunnings, is it clear to you what a dispensary does exactly? I mean, has been so much confusion over what this single word means for so long.
The only thing that is allowed is a caregiver to patient transfer. They said that patient to patient transfers cannot occur.
Correct.
So can a caregiver to patient transfer happen in a dispensary?
Sure, but that caregiver can only dispense to his five patients. He cannot dispense to anybody else's patients.
Okay.
So, I don't know, you can have a store where you can only sell to five people.
Well, caregivers could also do business at a location with their patients. And that could be a dispensary, correct? Are we all agreed on that?
Well, you could have a group of caregivers each supplying to their own particular patients, but then each of their marijuana will have to be in its own separate, enclosed, secure area.
Okay. Is that what's called for in Representative Calton's measure, Robin?
No. Representative Calton's measure, which is actually, I believe, will be formally read in tomorrow, and that's House Bill 4251, 4257, I believe. that measure will make dispensaries legal, and we call them provisioning centers is the term that will be used for those. And the idea is that a patient who doesn't have a caregiver, as Rep. Calton just said in the last clip there, one in three patients do not have a caregiver and do not have access to medical marijuana, and they might not be able to grow it for themselves. So it's time for the legislature to act and say, you know, this is what a dispensary is. This is who's allowed to operate them. You know, I think the bill puts restrictions on felons owning them. It puts into place things that stop redistribution, sets quantity limitations, and really regulates it. But the thing that I think is best about the upcoming legislation is that it allows for a local option. So say Lansing or Ann Arbor would like to have provisioning centers that they can say, okay, you can have them. This is how we're going to zone them. They've got to be 1,000 feet from a school, and we only want five. That's something that the municipalities will be able to tailor to their own community, where other areas might say, you know, we don't want them at all. And that's fine. If they don't have a place for them in their community, then that's something that we don't feel should be pushed on communities that don't want them. But we do want to know that patients have safe locations that are secure to go access their marijuana, not just smokable marijuana. Smokable marijuana, in my opinion, is not the healthiest form of ingestion. They may want forms that are edible. They may want non-psychoactive forms of cannabis. So we want to make sure that they're able to get a hold of the, you know, best of the medicine.
Stuart Dunnings, have you read through Representative Calton's proposed measure?
Well, his bill hasn't been introduced yet. It's not available. I tried to find it on the internet Friday, and it's not there. However, he did introduce a bill last year, and I think this bill probably will be somewhat similar. And in the bill, he allows for three different kind of facilities. One is the provisioning center, where people would actually go to get their product. One is a safety compliance facility, which is a place that's used to test the marijuana, and a secure cultivation facility where marijuana could be grown.
Okay, Robin, you wanted to respond to that.
I do. I actually have a copy here for you, but you're not here, sir, so I can't give it to you. But that's correct. It is similar. The cultivation facilities were removed from the bill, though, I think in part to make certain people happy that, you know, weren't happy that was in there. So that's one of the bigger differences.
Well, what's at the crux of the proposal, and the issue appears all along to have been access, mm-hmm. clarifying how access would work for certified patients and caregivers. Sure. How do card-holding patients get marijuana now in Lansing?
They can, you know, find a caregiver if they're lucky. The problem is that I hear over and over again from patients, my caregiver didn't show up. My caregiver didn't call me back. You know, they said that the crop died. And in my opinion, a good caregiver, regardless of what happens with their crop, will make sure that they acquire that medicine for their patient. That's not always the case. And so, I mean, I've had experience, I think I shared with you, I've lost several friends in the last year to cancer, AIDS, MS, and it's been tough watching this. I get very attached to these people, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're dying. But one of my dear friends, Greg, and he actually was an MSU alumni, and he was the president of student housing here on campus. He, you know, he had a tracheotomy and a feeding tube, and he calls me and he says, you know, I need help, and I need help right away. And so here we are looking for liquid form of THC to put through his feeding tube, and, you know, we go all over Lansing. We can't find it anywhere. All we can find is smokable marijuana. So we ended up driving clear to Ann Arbor, an hour and a half away, before he finally found that liquid, you know, marijuana to put into his feeding tube. But it was, to me, it was like this shouldn't have been so difficult to do this, and everybody should have, you know, access to those alternative forms. I mean, you can go anywhere. You can go into any neighborhood and find a bag of marijuana. That's not what the sickest of the patients really need is. That's not what they're looking for.
Stuart Dunnings, if Representative Calton's measure is based in large measure on the old one, with which you are familiar, do you have the feeling that the new revised measure is likely a good one and one that you could live with?
Yeah, I've felt all along that under the current statute, dispensaries were illegal, but I've also realized that, you know, the law says to people, you may have this and use it if you're qualified, but it doesn't tell you how you're going to get it. I think that's been a major weakness in the law. Plus, the way the law is written, it's just a mess, and people growing it in their homes presents its own set of problems, both from, you know, providing electricity. People have been subject to having their homes burglarized because people know there's marijuana. So I think there should be dispensaries in some way, shape, or form if we're going to have this.
Yeah, do you like the local control options?
Oh, very much, yeah. That's one of the positives in the bill is that it provides a lot of leeway for local municipalities to have them, not have them, and if they have them, to put restrictions and regulate them. So I think that's certainly a positive in the bill.
Well, as a reporter who covered this a number of times here not too awful long ago, I'm just delighted that it appears the word dispensary is no longer in the... Robin, is the word dispensary in Representative Galton's measure? Because that has created more confusion than I can believe.
Yeah, it's been renamed provisioning centers because dispensaries have kind of a negative connotation to them. But, you know, one point that I want to make is that, you know, I hear... some law enforcement officials saying, we don't want these pot shops, and we don't want... And I say, do you know what's happening when we don't have them? It's happening in our neighborhoods. It's happening, you know, at my neighbor's house. People are coming and buying marijuana in our neighborhoods, around our children. And as a parent, that's not what I think is safe. I think it's safe to get the distribution out of our neighborhoods and put it into a zoned location where law enforcement know what's happening, they can monitor and inspect the situation, and it's going to take all of those little transactions out of our neighborhoods and put them somewhere that is safer. And that's what I want to see happen is some control and some regulation, and for them to actually think through what is the safest scenario for caregivers, patients, and the community at large.
I absolutely agree with that. But one thing everybody needs to keep in mind is that under federal law, this is still illegal. And there's nothing to prevent the Drug Enforcement Administration or any other federal authorities from coming in and arresting and seizing anybody and anything involved in this trade.
Well, President Obama, I think the Obama administration has made it pretty clear in recent years that they don't expect to enforce that terribly strongly now that the president's been reelected. Would you anticipate a change on that front, Stuart Dunnings, for any reason?
I don't know. I think it will depend on the extent to which people that are allowed to do this are staying within the framework of the law, and those people that are going beyond it and using it to actually have a marijuana illegal operation, which is what we found for some of these people that were running dispensaries under the old law. They weren't just doing it strictly within the confines of the Medical Marijuana Act to the extent it was arguably legal, but they were using it as fronts for commercial dope selling operations, and those were taken down. So I think it's going to depend. If it's highly regulated, and if the federal government continues the way they are, perhaps it won't be problematic. But the federal government can change its mind at any time.
Robin?
I think what you're probably referring to is known as the Holder Memo, where they basically said that if the person is in clear and ambiguous compliance with the state law, that we won't use our resources to go after them. And
Eric Holder.
Yes,
okay.
Correct. And, you know, the problem with that is when you have a law that there is nothing clear and ambiguous about it, it's really hard to fall within that definition. And that's why I'm relieved to see the legislature taking action and to provide the opportunity to be in clear and ambiguous compliance.
Stuart Dunnings, are you pleased the legislature has, is addressing this?
Yeah, it's been long overdue.
Part of this issue, too, is as well as what do legal growers do with their excess? Does the bill address that, Robin?
It does.
Overages.
It does. And you know, technically, I think what would be thought should happen would be that it would be destroyed. But I think a caregiver who's put in that much time and effort into growing a plant that is difficult to work with as marijuana, it's not an easy process. I think they're going to have a really hard time destroying the fruits of their labor. And I think that there are scenarios now where, you know, the overages, you know, maybe they're going to other patients, but maybe they're slipping off into the black market. And that's another, you know, problem. And so this bill would say if you have extra medicine, you can take it to these provisioning centers where it'll be redistributed to patients who need it. And that's, you know, a much safer scenario than, you know, having it end up in our streets. And that's another thing in the bill. It curtails the redistribution because it only allows the patients and caregivers to take so much from any facility within a 10-day period.
That was one of the major flaws in the current law is that if you have a good harvest of the 12 plants you're allowed, you're going to be automatically over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're this right. is ridiculous. You harvest and you're going to automatically be over, and what happens to it? So I'm glad to see hopefully that'll be taken care of.
Stuart, do you expect any kind of word from the Attorney General's office regarding Representative Colton's bill?
Well, as a matter of fact, the Prosecutors Association's Legislative Committee has a meeting on either Wednesday or Thursday of this week, and I'm sure this will be a topic of conversation, and the Attorney General is a member of the Prosecutors Association, and I'm pretty sure his representative will be there.
How about that?
There was an article in the Detroit Free Press this morning where the Attorney General's representative said there's no need for further legislation, and you know, he has historically been against anything having to do medical or not. My opinion is that he is not going to be reasonable about this in the least bit.
Okay, we've got to leave it there. I wish we had more time. This has been a great discussion. Stuart Dunnings Jr. is the Ingham County Prosecutor, and Robin Schneider is a legislative liaison for the National Patients' Rights Association. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.